You're now listening to the Deep Edge Podcast with your host, technology expert Ray Moda, giving you the rundown on telecom, cloud, and all things business and tech. This is the Deep Edge Podcast.
Let's go!
Thank you for joining us today on this webinar. My name is Ilan Tevet, and I'm Rod's VP Marketing and Business Development. Together with me, we have Dr. Ray Mota. Ray is the CEO and Principal Analyst of ACG Research. Ray has an experience over 30 years focusing on communication service providers, infrastructure, and services. And he joined us today to share with us his view and vision about how service providers can monetize their existing networks by getting more insights from their assets to increase their top line and bottom line. Welcome, Ray. How are you today?
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm very honored to be part of this webinar. So it's pretty exciting to be part of it. Yeah.
Great.
And maybe I think from my point of view, what I like to do, Ilan, is make it a discussion, right? And part of it is I was a former CTO working in Wall Street and have a lot of experience in building design. And one of the things, Ilan, that was always important, right, is that, you know, when we created an environment, when we lacked visibility or control, it created a level of concern in that area. So there's primarily five topics that I plan to talk about the audience, because I would be remiss if we don't first talk about the economic climate, some of the CapEx spending, some of the trends associated with not just the communication service providers, but also the enterprise thing, because it's driving the need for having more control and visibility. But then also discuss some of the parts of present mode of operations regarding the architecture, and then talk about the customer viewpoint. And if we look at the economy today, right, we started off the year, honestly, Ilan, in a very positive note. We saw that in 2021, it was a global GDP about 5.5%, which is excellent, right? After having the pandemic, we saw a recovery across. And initially, the beginning of the year, we saw almost every sector of the economy projected to be up. We saw global GDP projected to be 4.2, and each country had their adjustments from that point of view. But when we look at mid-year, what we see is some headwinds, right? And these headwinds are now doing the opposite of what we saw in the beginning of the year. We saw all sectors. We saw an adjustment decline of 31% from a global GDP. So now it's projected to be about 2.9. We saw inflation levels of the rate of what we call third world level countries, which is interesting. But then we're also seeing the increase of interest rates and that other area to kind of offset the what's going on from an interest rate perspective. But lastly, from an economic point of view, we're seeing, because of supply chain issues and other part, the cost of capital, right? Which means basically how much capital is it requiring to be able to deliver a service, is increasing right now at a rate of about 17% than the normal. So there is a cost of doing nothing, but this basically means that enterprises and CSPs need to figure out ways to simplify their network, need to simplify their operations, and be able to be more efficient moving forward. So there's opportunities in that area. And on top of the macroeconomic climate, we're seeing things like, from a CapEx point of view, we're seeing things where there's initially, all the beginning of the year, it was all projected to be up. We saw IT spending about 5.3%, wireline spending about 4.8%, wireless about 8.9%, and even the cloud providers was honestly, Ilan, about a double-digit projection. But now, because of the economic headwinds, we are seeing that they're making adjustments almost in every category across the board. And as we shift to the discussion from a trends perspective, because of these headwinds, what we're seeing is that a lot of these enterprises and CSPs are now contacting us and other firms to really look to accelerate the digital transformation. It used to be that before the pandemic, honestly, digital transformation was kind of like slideware, right? But now they're looking to look at all their operation, all their parts of how they do some of their process, and digitize and automate, but then look for automation, not just from a silo perspective, look for automation across the board. So looking to have better agility, more operational efficiencies, and the simplification of the network. And while they do that, we have to realize that a lot of these enterprises are going into what we call a multi-cloud environment, Elon, right? And the migration to multi-cloud becomes very important when you have to support these networks, and how does it impact present mode of operation. So these CSPs, because some of these networks are becoming more and more diverse, how do I do more with less, pretty much, right? And how do I implement what we call proper automation, right? And create a level of intelligence across the network, because silos of automation is only going to get you so much. Using a specific tool is going to get you so much because of all the skill sets that might be lacking. Is something important to put what we call proper cross-domain automation. But realize that I honestly think, Elon, that there's tremendous opportunities when there's economic uncertainties. When we look at history, right? History across the board shows that anytime there's even the perception of economic implosion across the board, there's opportunities for CSPs to be able to deliver managed service to those enterprise customers. Because what enterprise customers tend to do is they tend to take a step back, focus on their core competency. So if I make shoes, I make tables, I focus on that. And a lot of my IT functions, I try to outsource and move my applications from that particular area. So there's tremendous opportunities for the CSPs to not only to take advantage and go deeper and wider with these managed services, right? A great opportunity to accelerate, increase the margin. And a good way to do that by increasing your profit margin is to look at ways to be able to have more service visibility and focus on the service insurance, because customer experience is a major priority for these customers. So maybe Elon, I'll kick it over to you, because you've done some survey work there.
I can really connect with one of the things, most of the things you said, but uh-huh. I want to pick one point in particular, sure. The digital transformation, or in other words, the migration of workloads mm-hmm. from the private cloud, from running on-prem at the headquarter of the enterprise customers, to the cloud. This is not a new trend, but it accelerated greatly during the pandemic. On the other hand, the service providers who provide these kind of managed services or premium access to cloud services, they continue to operate more or less the same as they did pre-pandemic. They have different teams responsible for different parts of their networks, using different tools to troubleshoot these different parts of the network, sometimes from different vendors. So what happens when a customer is suffering from some issue, some service degradation, is calling the hotline of the CSP, the frontline representatives need to use multiple tools. Sometimes these tools are actually owned and need to be, you know, used by a different team within the CSP. So it also takes time to really diagnose where the problem is. Now, you mentioned that we did a survey, and this is really an interesting data to share with the audience here. Tell me if you can see the slide, Ray.
Yeah, I see it just fine, actually.
Okay, so what we actually polled 100 CSPs, and we asked them, typically, when you get a service call from one of your customers, and after you invest time and effort in diagnosing and troubleshooting the issue, what do you find? Do you find that the problem relates to your network, or maybe it relates to a third-party network segment, maybe the end customer local area network, or maybe the cloud application that this user is trying to reach? And the results were really shocking. What these 100 service providers told us is that in average, over 75%, so 3 out of 4 calls, eventually is identified to be due to something that is outside the network domain of the CSP. So CSP is investing a lot of time, money, multiple teams using different tools in order to troubleshoot issues that eventually are not related to their own network.
You know, I would say honestly that 3 out of 4 times, Elon, it's an eye catcher, to be honest, because as a person that does a lot of business case and TCLs and ROI, I mean, that's just honestly a tremendous waste of resources. And I think just to add on to your point about some of the issues regarding present mode, I have a slide which also we could include. I've written certain blogs. If you can share the slide, Elon, it's that if we look at, you know, let's say from a network architecture, Elon, perspective, right? There's a few areas associated what we call with present mode of operation, right? And in that area where you see the connectivity or the flow of a packet go from a LAN, WAN, and then from that area is where you talked about there's some level of control today from service assurance, but then you have these third-party type levels, internet, cloud, and multi-cloud type environment. So in this Gen 1, as you mentioned here, I mean, 2/3 of the call is just astronomical, right? Because if you look at what they're doing in this particular case, as these enterprises kind of look to do digital transformation, right? We know that that means they're accelerating a lot of their applications moving to the cloud, right? But in order for them to manage it with the kind of the present mode, right? They need to be able to have insertion points. And what they're doing is putting these inline insertion tools for assurance, right? But in reality, as a person who does TCL and economics, that adds a level of extra OPEX and CAPEX, and more importantly, a level of latency that could impact the performance of the application, because we know that a lot of these enterprises, because of this hybrid workforce, they want access to application agnostic of location, agnostic of device, and they want to be able to have overall good customer experience. And lastly, what we see, Elon, is that anytime you add more network elements, it creates more potentially points of failure. So this concept of where we look at overall kind of like static service assurance design, and which is driven by transport KPI, it creates a challenge for the CSPs as they look forward, because when these customers are calling, they're calling you, right? And they expect you. And what's happening, as you mentioned, some of these initial people receiving the call don't have the skill sets, or more importantly, they don't have the proper tools. So one of the things that we feel, Elon, is that there needs to be this concept of what we call Gen 2 here, related to service assurance tool. And that's more about using a software-centric type that kind of reuses the existing network elements, right, without inserting new inline tools. And this allows kind of like an end-to-end and holistic approach to service assurance, right? So I think it's vital, and you need to look at guidelines, right, on how you move forward to say, I need to move and have a level of service assurance that's kind of changing the concept where I talked about silos of automation, where you're looking at service assurance moving to more what we call an intent-based assurance driven by AI. So the opportunities for AI comes into play. So this focus on KPIs of session translates to what we call better customer experience, right? And I think that better customer experience becomes a very high priority, because in a lot of our survey, when we talk to a lot of the customers, there needs to be not only understand that the customer mindset is changing and the level of expectation is changing, you need to have a common language, because the last thing you want to do is you spend so much money to acquire that customer. You don't want to have an issue where Elon mentioned 2/3 of the calls are not related. That could be very, very frustrating, not only for the people receiving the call, worse for the customers making the call, right? And this issue of escalating the call, honestly, it's a waste of time. And lastly, honestly, the time to resolution, Elon, it's a problem, right? So looking at present mode of operation, where we look at these transport KPIs, where traditionally they're looking at latency, jitter, you know, to measure the quality, they need to change the mindset of the CSPs and look at user experience, right? So maybe, Elon, as we talk about some of these challenges, I mean, we're here with Rad, right? How does Rad handle this? How is it done today from your point of view?
So, you know,
it's a tough question. I know. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a good question because I think I have a good answer. But before that, mm-hmm. you know, today CSPs are focusing on SLA.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The SLA is in the context of a segment of the service, because they only control their own network. They can provide, okay, an SLA within their own network. They don't have control and visibility even on what is happening within their customer's local area network. They don't care about that, okay? It's somebody else's problem. And they don't care about what's happening on the cloud side. Who cares?
Right, because the customer is calling you still, right?
So the end customer suffers, is calling you, and you're telling him, I'm okay. My network is fine, but you did not solve his problem, because in 75% of the cases, the problem is somewhere else. And you're just telling him, go look elsewhere, but you don't tell him where. And this does not create the level of trust that customers expect today. And it does not help them resolve the issues they are suffering from. So what we do is something totally different. We leverage the fact that Rad has a huge install base of EADs, Ethernet access devices, or network termination devices needs, deployed by service providers, installed in end customer locations, branches. We leverage this infrastructure, hundreds of thousands of these devices installed by tier one, tier two operators globally. And we add to that a layer of visibility that is monitoring not the network KPIs, you know, the engineering KPIs that are irrelevant for the end user. They actually monitor the end user experience. And using AI and machine learning tools, we build a baseline, a user experience baseline, which is per end customer, per end user, actually. You know, different people within the same office may have a different experience because one of them is located farther away from the Wi-Fi router, for instance. So per user and also per cloud application that this user is trying to achieve, we create a baseline that is per session, in fact. And once we have created this baseline without adding any network infrastructure, by using the fact that we have the footprint there, we have the network termination devices already there, we start to compare the real-time information with the baseline, which allows us to identify an anomaly, a degradation from whatever this user is used to. It has nothing to do with a CSP KPI. Okay, this particular user, you know, different user may have different user experience, which is fine as a baseline, but if one of them degrades, he will call you. And once he does that, he will reach the frontline people, and these people will be able to see the end-to-end view. And first of all, tell him, yes, we confirm that we also see that you have some degradation in your user experience and which network segment is actually the root cause. Is it caused by your local area network? Is it caused by my network, my CSP network? We'll take care of that. Or is it due to some issue on the cloud? So the monitoring is done in a way that is intent-based. So, you know, depending on what this particular user is trying to do, we're able to tell him. And we can even do it in advance. We can set thresholds. So once there is a degradation, we can be proactive. And the CSP can do proactive things, even provide limited access, restricted access to his users, to his customers, to view their own services end-to-end in the context for user experience.
No, I think that's a great and it's compelling. And I think it's important part of it because it solves a real issue. But As I mentioned earlier, Elon, as you know, we do a lot of economic studies for a lot of our customers. What do you see as some of the economic benefits to this CSPs? And honestly, is it just a cost savings or is there a potential revenue upside that you see there?
Well, I would say three things. First of all, there is a cost savings involved. And as you said before, in the last three or four quarters, this is becoming more important. Everybody tries to optimize a network rather than throwing, you know, capex at problems. You want to try to use whatever you have in a more efficient way. What you have is, among others, not only the network infrastructure, but your personnel and their knowledge. And you want to conserve that. If you can resolve a service call within the first line of support, without escalating it, without doing a truck roll, without sending new equipment, without contacting your vendors for support, this saves tons of money, a lot of time and money of very expensive people. What we gather from some of our North American customers is that in average, if you're able to close a service call within the first step, this translates to an average saving of $150 per case. Okay, and you can do the math depending on the number of calls you have, the number of based on your installed base. So cost savings using your existing infrastructure. The second point is that using these kind of machine learning and AI tools, we're able to identify what are the users actually doing, identify trends in the usage of different applications, not only in terms of bandwidth, which is a typical way CSP would work, but also in the sense of the services and cloud applications that they are using. And this allows the CSP to take a totally different role and offer upsell opportunities to these end customers, bundles that would be optimized for that particular customer, for that particular user even. So on one side, optimize cost, reduce the time that it takes to resolve problems. By the way, this, of course, has a direct impact on customer satisfaction, reduce churn, etc. And on the other hand, increase the top line by offering new bundles and new services to the customer.
Yeah, no, it's great because usually, Elon, when I go to a lot of these board level meetings, they usually say, Ray, don't come into my office unless you're going to show me how to make money or save money, right? So you're touching on some very important parts. And I think maybe we could summarize as part of this is that when we look at it, is that it's important to understand that there's macroeconomic headwinds, right, in that area. But during macroeconomic headwinds, there's opportunities to create a better trusted managed service offering because these enterprises are looking to offset some of their IT functions to look at currently, you know, the present mode of operation on how you do service assurance and look at what you just talked about, you know, this intent-based AI driven. I honestly wish I had that when I was a CTO, but then bring this level of operational efficiency so that in the future, right, you have the ability to gain instant insight and have what we call actionable intelligence for that part of it. And with your solution in this area and overall, you're able to focus not just on lowering the cost, but more importantly, the remediation time, which becomes very important in solving these particular issues. And if you do that properly, not only do you lower costs, then there's opportunities to gain more opportunities, as you mentioned, from a revenue point of view. Maybe what I like to do, Elon, it's for now, unless there's anything you want to add, maybe open it up to some questions here. So let me see what came in the Q&A here. So let's see here. It says here, are RAD Insight services available for NET/NITS or other than just RAD?
Potentially it could. So, mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, it also depends on the capabilities of the different EADs or needs. RAD EADs are special in the sense that they can perform sampling of traffic in hardware. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, the fact that we forward a little bit of information, maybe 1-3% of data for analysis, does not impact the performance of the need. In that sense, we are very special among different players. Potentially, we could support other vendors. Eventually, I believe we will. Currently, we're focusing on providing additional value add to our existing install base.
Yeah, no, that's great. No, thanks. So, another one here is related to some areas related to traffic mirroring. Does traffic mirroring overload the ETX device or not?
Yeah. As I said, so we have a hardware-based mirroring in our ETX product line, in our EADs. So there's no, you know, performance impact once you start using this function. It's, you know, basic part of the device, and it does not create any overhead or any impact on the service. Excellent. Only additional visibility.
Yeah, only additional. I think we've got time for one more question, but feel free to add any more questions. I think, Ilan, on the distribution of this, we'll have links to some of the product info, but also to some of the blogs that I talk about. Let's see here. What about data protection regulations? Do they affect Rad Insight services or not?
Yeah, that's a good point. First of all, Rad Insight does not handle any traffic that is associated with individuals. So we monitor sessions, but we are unaware to the user level, to the person that is behind that particular machine. We are totally unaware. So in that sense, GDPR regulation is not applicable to Rad Insight at all. But in addition, even the data that we do analyze is only the headers. We don't look at the data at all. We don't care about the data, only the headers. Based on that, we create the user experience baselines. And
yeah, no, this is great. I think that's all the time we have left, Ilan. So thanks for allowing me to participate, and thanks for the audience joining. Hopefully, we could do some more deeper dive into this. Thank you again.
Thank you very much, Ray. As always, it's been a pleasure to host you here with us. And thank you. Hopefully we can meet again in person.
That's right. And go kayaking. All right. Take care, everyone.
Let's do that.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Thank you all.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Deep Edge Podcast. Make sure to follow Ray Moda on Twitter and LinkedIn at RModa. If you enjoyed the podcast, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes. Want even more? Head over to acgcc.com to access exclusive bonus content. Till next time.